Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week of the freaking year, guys. Every 52 weeks of the year, we're surprising you with new events. And, of course, oh, my gosh, I've forgotten the spiel. What is it? A surprise with new events at UFC current events. Oh, my gosh, that's what happens when you just start going off on a tangent. But we like to spice up these intros here and there. But, of course, we're talking about UFC, and on today's episode, we'll be recapping all the action from UFC Vegas 102. That's right, the 102nd UFC Apex event. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting sick of all these Apex events. But not too bad on predictions. 10-2, including 7-0 on the prelims. An excellent job from us. We'll be talking about all the fights and what is next for the fighters. As well, new UFC fights that have been dropped. We're going to be discussing those new updates in pop culture, and I even have a little weekend recap to kick things off, guys. It was a fantastic Valentine's Day weekend. There's so many things going on in the life of Zachary, so many opportunities presenting themselves left, right, and center. It's just kind of choosing which ones to take, choosing which ones to pass on, and as of right now, you know, I'm young, I'm 22, I'm trying to take every single opportunity I can get, go any place I'm invited, do anything I can within reason, never putting myself in danger. And I just think it's crazy that I just kind of get settled back down to earth when I'm able to come on here, talk about some UFC, talk about some pop culture, sports, and all the fun stuff. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all of you guys for always listening in and supporting me, I think is the best words we can use. But there's enough talk for that. There's another time for it. Let's get right on into things with, first off, a little weekend recap. Let me just say, guys, that this past weekend, Valentine's Day weekend, was so much fun. Got to see the girlfriend, had a nice dinner, spent a good time with her, but we also got to go to our first ever MMA event. That's right, I went to, I think it's called Mecca 24, something. It's put on by Ignite Fights, went down in Shakopee, Minnesota. There were 20 MMA fights, 12 Muay Thai fights, so many fights. It was a fantastic time. I was watching someone we've actually had on the podcast, Jimmy Aulis. I mentioned it before in the past episodes. Was going to watch him, and it was such a banging time. It was so much fun. I honestly had such a blast watching it. And the Muay Thai was action-packed right off the bat. Jimmy won his fight, by the way, domination. He dominated this guy, Gabe Pesh. I mean, truly, truly, he pieced him up left, right, and center. The strikes must have been double for Jimmy. Thought he was going to get the knockout here and there, but man, some of these guys, it's just, their chins don't crack, and Gabe really hung in there, so good job to Gabe, but better off, good job to Jimmy Aulis as he got his fourth career victory, which is so, I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for the kid. He's so fun to talk to. Following his fight, I mean, you had a lot of other good Muay Thai fights. You had some weird ones here and there, but where the action really kicked off was in the MMA portion of the show, and you had some absolutely fantastic MMA fights, including at one point we had like 7 round one finishes in a row. It was utterly incredible. There was one, there's these kids, Darius Jordan and Josh Diedrich. These kids are 18, having their first ever MMA fight. They were amateur fights, but still nonetheless having their first ever amateur MMA fight. And Darius Jordan, this kid literally goes over, picks up the other, slams him down, and just starts laying some vicious ground and pound. Gets into full top mount. It was vicious, and I was loving it. You also had some very awkward instances where this, I believe it was Will Mulkey versus Elias Birafa, I think that's who it was, and Will, you know, he had a takedown, and he was coming up, and as he was coming up, he kneed Elias in the groin, and Elias, like, holds his groin and puts his hand up, and in the same motion, before the ref can stand in, Will clips him right on the chin, face plant KO. It's ruled a no contest. You hate to see it. You really hate to see it. But man, watching a face plant KO live is utterly insane. I was going nuts and I saw what happened. I'm like, oh, maybe I should settle down. That wasn't the best choice to be up and cheering. Some other good fights here and there, but really where it was fun is when we got into the 5-fight main card. That is right. The main card live is also just as exciting as it is watching it on TV, more and more so in person. And I'll say one aspect I love is that when you're in person, there really isn't a bad seat in the building. You know, obviously the closer you get to the ring, and I'm being, we were sitting cage side for the co-main and main event, which was incredible. We were able to get wristbands passed back to us. It is as good as people say it is. It is as good as you say to be right by the octagon. It is insane. But main card had a couple good ones. You had this heavyweight fight. This guy named Alvin Hines, who had sponsors and everything, absolutely ran through this guy named Junior Hicks. I think Alvin Hines is actually like the number 3 heavyweight in, I want to say, the Midwest or something. It was something really wonky like that. And the co-main event, you had Aussie Judge, who was a local legend. Dude, this guy's 40. 45 from Minnesota. He's fighting David Buella. And I found out that David Buella is actually the nephew of Hulk Hogan. Of all people, Hulk Hogan, David Buella is the nephew of. And it was a competitive fight. It looked like two 40-year-olds throwing down. Let me tell you, they're both in their 40s. And David Meraxi was able to lock up an arm triangle. And I think Ozzy tried to tap at one point but couldn't get it off. And David was able to submit him. Ozzy was completely passed out. Everyone wanted to make sure he was okay. And now David is your new IF super lightweight champion. So good for him. I think it's Ignite Fights. Ignite Fights, super lightweight champion. And he gets on the mic and he's saying he loves that Trump's in office. Free Andrew and Tristan Tate, that Elon Musk is going to fix the government, send all the Mexicans back over the border. There was a Mexican family right next to me, and they start booing him. It was so funny. You know, everyone started booing him, actually. It was so funny. He had like a heel turn almost. He was saying he's going to go back and impregnate the ring girls. I was like, this dude has no, or this dude's 44 saying this stuff. You got to be kidding me. But it was exciting. And then we got to the main event. I was talking to my buddy Casey's dad, Dion, and he had bet Casey and his buddy Noah before on the previous two fights on who he thought would win. And we get the main event, and he's like, all right, Zach, let's do this. Like, who are you going to pick? And we got this guy from Kyrgyzstan, Bekmirzadazmetov, taking on this guy in Austin Tweedy. And I took one look at Bekmirzadazmetov, and I'm like, I'm picking this guy. Lo and behold, 30-26 is him across the board. Domination. Bekmirza might be my new favorite fighter. And as he's walking up the octagon, as he's walked in, out of it, up the stage, I dap him up and I dap his team up, dude. It was so cool. I was having the best time there. I was like a kid in a candy store. You know, this was like, you know, when I don't even know how to compare it. It's a kid in the candy store. I love MMA. I'm at an MMA event. It was a fantastic time. And I encourage everyone to go. You know, 30 fights, it takes a long time. I was there 7 hours. Lexi was with me. So shout out to her for toughing it out with her boyfriend for, gosh, 7-8 hours watching MMA. But let me just tell you, I will do it in a heartbeat. And I heard that LFA is going to be doing some fights in Minnesota at a casino, which I'm very excited about. If I can get tickets to that, I am so going. And I'm going to look to get some interviews with the fighters, maybe get some short-form content. My buddy Casey was telling me I should do that, and I think it's a fantastic idea. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I really hope it does, but I think that's enough talk about my weekend. Good weekend. Good weekend overall. A little snowy up here in Minnesota. For any of my listeners that aren't in Minnesota, it's negative. It's cold. I'm recording this at night. I'm probably gonna go start my car after I'm done recording this so that I can actually make sure it starts in the morning. But it is what it is. Good weekend overall. I absolutely love MMA, as you all know. But let's get right on into it, guys, with some new UFC fights. And we've had some fight cancellations here and there. We've had some new UFC fights dropping left, right, and center. So let's talk about some of the big ones that have been announced. I can't even remember last time we spoke about this. You know, it's already February 17th. I think we have spoken on like the 13th or something. But kicking us off, we have a main event official for UFC Vegas 105 going down April 5th. And it is the number 8 ranked featherweight, Josh Emmett, taking on the number 11th ranked Lerone Murphy. Lerone Murphy 15-0 with one draw. He is undefeated in his professional career, coming off of big wins over Dan Ige and Edson Barbosa. He is on a roll, and he's getting his second straight main event. Actually, I think it's his second main event. I think he had the Dan Ige fight after the Edson Barbosa fight. But Josh Emmett, I mean, this is long overdue. What if I were to tell you Josh Emmett didn't fight in 2024 after potentially having the knockout of the year in 2023? Would you have believed me? I'm sure you wouldn't have. But that's right, Josh Emmett has not fought since he knocked out Bryce Mitchell, which I'm sure everyone would have been very happy about now if that would have happened. But yes, Josh Emmett back in action. This will be tough. This will be tough because Josh Emmett coming in with a lot of momentum. But mind you, Josh Emmett turns 40 March 5th. That's pretty insane. Josh Emmett turns 40. Meanwhile, you have Lerone Murphy. Lerone Murphy is 6 years his senior. He's undefeated. He's on the run of a lifetime. I don't know. It's going to be tricky. I'm probably going to back Lerone since there's some divisions. Like, we're going to talk about the middleweight division. That one's tough to break into. The featherweight, I think Lerone Murphy can break to the top 10 here. I'm pretty confident in his abilities, but we'll have to see what takes place. I'm excited, though. Should be a good one. Coming up next, and we're actually going to be talking about this on the next episode later in the week at UFC Seattle, Nursultan Ruzaboyev gets a new opponent as he takes on Eric McConaughey Jr. Eric McConaughey, 9-2-1, will be making his UFC debut. Heck Shields win over UFC veteran Mickey Patolo, who didn't do too well in the UFC, but nonetheless, that's a good name to have on his roster. As for the suit and Black Rose Boy, of 3 fights in the UFC, his only loss is a decision to Joaquin Buckley, which has aged beautifully, I might add. I'm excited for that one. Another one for you. This one for UFC Seattle. As the number 15th ranked light heavyweight Atomic, Alonzo Menafield is back in action as he takes on the debuting 6-0 Julius Walker. Julius Walker fighting out of Fight Hard MMA. He has actually has a win over Bevan Lewis. All right, Bevan Lewis was a legit middleweight for a time. And, you know, gosh, Alonzo Menafield, it's tough. It's tough. He is such a fast starter. Now, he's been knocked out by Carlos Ulberg. He's been finished by Nikita Krylov. He's been finished by Ryan Spann, but now's a real opportunity for Alonzo to pick up a good win over a tough young up-and-comer who's definitely going to be hungry to beat him. And don't mind that Alonzo Menafield is 38 years old. He is still a threat to be dealt with, so I'll be excited for that one, as we're going to be doing a prediction for that on next week's episode. Actually, next episode, I should say. A veteran matchup at welterweight, as Santiago Ponzinibbio will be taking on Daniel Rodriguez. This one's going down May 3rd, which is rumored to be in Iowa, I've heard. Santiago, veteran of the game, 30-8, picked up a win last time out against goodness knows who. I honestly can't remember. His opponent, actually, was it Carlson Harris? I can't remember. His opponent, Daniel Rodriguez, he's searching for a win. Daniel Rodriguez is really, really searching for a win. Both of these guys up there in age, I believe 39 for each of these men. They aren't going to make a run. They aren't going to win a world title, but they are still going to put on a banger fight. And we're kind of getting all these matchups with all the old welterweights, and this is one of the final few matchups you can make. I always find it funny when they're matchmaking all the old guys in their divisions. You're like, okay, these two haven't fought yet somehow. Let's matchmake those two. That's kind of how it is. UFC 314 has a new fight for the prelims as the middleweight division gets Cedric Dumas, who'll be dropping down from light heavyweight to take on Mikhail Olakajasek. Mikhail Olakajasek is pretty decent. He's from Poland. You know, he's had a couple notable fights against, I want to say, Kevin Holland is one name that comes to mind. I'm sure there's some others in there. And as for Cedric Dumas, 3-2 in the UFC, has really left no impression. I'm so confused why he's still in the UFC. But if he can pick up a win in Miami, good for him. Here's one main card, UFC 313, the number 13th ranked lightweight, Jalen Turner, coming off of his loss to Naoto Moicano, is back in action as he takes on the 16-5, 5-2 in the UFC, Ignacio Bahamadez. And Ignacio, he's been earning his keep. He's been getting wins at the Sphere. He's been knocking out guys with spinning wheel kicks for the longest time, and he finally gets a ranked opponent. Long overdue. You already know I'm backing Ignacio all day of the week. I'm excited for this. Dude, he has two of the nastiest spinning back wheel kicks I've ever seen in my life. I'm pumped for this one. It's on the main card, UFC 313, which means you gotta pay to see it. Here's something you don't have to pay to see, and this one's going to be on the UFC Seattle main card, as Rob Font, who was originally supposed to take on Dominic Cruz, of course, Dominic Cruz gets injured, he actually retires from MMA, best of luck to him in his future endeavors in the broadcasting department, but Rob Font, the number 9 ranked bantamweight, will now be taking on the 16-0 24-year-old Gene Matsumoto. Incredible. Incredible. Gene Matsumoto, just the other week, is out here beating, I want to say it is Brad Katona, and now he's getting the number 9 guy in the world, Rob Font. Rob Font is so legit. I know how good Rob Font is, but there's just something about thinking Gene Matsumoto could go from unranked to the number 9 bantamweight in the world. You already know I'm going to be backing Gene Matsumoto for that, but maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. You'll have to stay tuned for our prediction coming at you this upcoming Thursday. I think that's when I'll drop the episode. Another matchup for you, UFC Kansas City in Kansas City, Missouri, April 26th, as Anthony Lionheart Smith, the number 14th ranked light heavyweight, takes on the 18-6. 2-0 in the UFC, 100% finish rate, Zhang Minyang, the Mountain Tiger. Yeah. Yeah, this is Anthony Smith's retirement fight, and he's taking on a guy with a 100% finish rate. I mean, dude, we fed him Tukos, Ozzie Diaz, and Brenson Ribeiro, and he has just manhandled all three of those guys. Like, he ate them all for breakfast and spit them out. So, Anthony Smith, go out fighting on your shield, but Zhang Minyang is coming for your head. Here's one for you. Women's bantamweight action as the number 15th ranked Nora Cornoli takes on the unranked Haley Cohen at UFC Montreal. Actually, UFC 315 is in Montreal, Canada. May 10th, how about that? I didn't even know we were going back to Montreal, Canada. Interestingly enough, Nora Cornoli 2-1 in the UFC. Haley Cohen 0-1. 0-1, she's getting a ranked opponent. That's how not deep the women's bantamweight division is, just to give you a bit of a preview. Two more fights for you. This one for UFC 313 is the number 15th ranked flyweight, Joshua Van takes on the unranked Rei Tatsura, who is 10-0, coming off a win over Carlos Hernandez. Dang it! He was supposed to take on Bruno Silva. He was supposed to take on the number 13 guy. Now my sweet boy, Fearless Van, has to take on an absolute killer in Rei Tatsura. But you know what? I have a good feeling in Joshua. I think he can get past Ray. It won't be easy. You know, them Japanese boys, they are tough. Look at Tetsuo Taira, for example. But Joshua Vansker, we really need to dial in for that. So we'll have to see. Final new fight for you. Women's Bantamweight action is the number 10 ranked women's Bantamweight. Yana Santos takes on the number 11th ranked Misha Cupcake Tate. Misha Tate coming off of a win, actually got a submission win last year. As for Yana, I can't remember the last time she won. She's 5-5 in the UFC, 15-8 overall, and she's married to Thiago Santos. That's all I got for you. She's also approaching 40, but mind you, Misha Tate is also approaching 40. So this is a battle of some of the older women in the division. Wouldn't it make more sense to have the young guns fight them? I guess not. I guess it's not how we do things in the UFC, but that's okay. That's okay, ladies. It's not your fault. It's the matchmaker's fault, let me tell you. That's all your new UFC fights. We're waiting in the wings for UFC 314 to be announced. Some people are saying it's Ilia Topuria-Volkanovski. Some people are saying it's Alexander Pantoja, Kaikar Franz. Some people are even saying Islam Makhachev versus Ilia Topuria. We'll have to see what's main event in Miami. But as for now, those are all your new UFC fights. I'll tell you what else is new, though. And that is some new things in the pop culture world. The pop culture department, courtesy of Disgusting Film. On just about every episode, we look at the top 10 new things in pop culture, courtesy of me, Zachary, who gets to choose which ones he reads out loud. So let's get right on into it. Starting off with number one, Epic Games sued a Fortnite tournament player for cheating, which resulted in his account being banned for life, forced to donate his winnings to charity, and he's required to make an apology video admitting the cheating. Are we supposed to feel bad for him? He cheated, and the company caught him, and they sued him as they should have. Why would you cheat? Why would you ever cheat? Don't cheat in life, guys. And if you're going to cheat, don't get caught. In the words of the great, late, great Eddie Guerrero, I lie, I cheat, I steal. All right, don't get caught. What are you doing, you fool? Cheating online, dude, you're going to get caught. You're always going to get caught. And Epic Games, they love their money. Tell me, I bought some V-Bucks. They've sucked me in, but guess what? I bought some cool skins, so it was worth it. And the Battle Pass. Gotta love the Battle Pass. Number two, first looks at Matt Damon as Odysseus in Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. It hits theaters on July 17th, 2026, and he looks like a Spartan. Looks like he's a Spartan. So Matt Damon is playing a Spartan. Not the biggest fan of Matt Damon personally. I'm about to watch Good Will Hunt with Ryan coming up this week, so maybe that'll change my impression of him. But I don't know. I'm just not really sold on Matt Damon personally. I don't know. Maybe it's personal preference or something, but I don't hate the guy in any regards. But he looks kind of cool in his little Spartan getup with the little helmet or whatever. Good stuff. I'll probably go watch the movie, if I'm being honest. It sounds like it's going to be good. Number three, Dave Bautista tells us that he doesn't want to keep playing the big dumb guy role in movies from now on. He says, in his words, it would have to be a very special character if he just wasn't the brightest, like Drax. That was a really special character. Okay. Good for you, Dave. The industry has completely corrupted you. I liked you better when you were suplexing John Cena onto steel steps. But that's just me. He was good as Drax, and he was good in, what was the one movie? The Glass Onion. He was pretty good in Glass Onion, but nothing will be Drax. Drax is probably going to be the best role of his career. But hey, he can always separate himself. There's always time. Number three, Tatiana Maslany says she's down to return. Actually, this is number four. Tatiana Maslany says she's down to return as She-Hulk and Daredevil Born Again. Would I be born again? I mean, absolutely. I would have a lot of serious bones in my body. Look, She-Hulk is an absolute joke of the MCU. Don't bring her to Daredevil, which I believe is a actual serious show in the MCU. I'm not going to watch it, but hey, that's how it goes. Number five, I was 28 when I signed on to do 5 films and will be 54 when we finish them, says Zoe Saldana on the journey of making the Avatar sequels, which I find absolutely crazy. Zoe Saldana was 28 years old when she first signed on to do 5 films for Avatar. This was back in 2008 when they were filming. She is now going to be 54. That's just such a crazy, crazy thought, is that you're getting the third film this year. I think they're shooting for the fourth film next year, maybe the fifth after that. I don't know, but these Avatar films take a lot of work to film. But hey, Zoe Saldana, you've made a living off of playing a great character. I wouldn't be too mad about it, but I think you just ride with it. Number six, Spike Lee's remake of High and Low is eyed to premiere at Cannes Film Festival in May, starring Denzel Washington, Jeffrey Wright, Ice Cube, or Ice Spice, and A$AP Rocky. What a goofy cast. Denzel Washington was a great villain in Gladiator 2. That's all I have to say about him. He's a good guy, I think. You never know with these Hollywood actors. It's really tough. Number seven, here's a fun one. Alan Ritchson confirms a Blue Mouth State sequel series will be happening at Amazon. He says, I'm trying to work it into my schedule. Honestly, I think it's going to be the best season of Blue Mountain State we've ever had. You mean to tell me that Alan Ritchman is going back from Reacher back to play Thad Castle. It's probably going to be like a grown-up Thad Castle going back to coach the team. Sign me up. Sign me up immediately. He is so freaking funny. And I'm excited for Reacher Season 3. That's got to be coming out in March here soon. It should be really, really good. I'm pumped for it. Number eight, what should we share? There's got to be like three more good things to talk about here. First, look at the return of Harvey Specter in the new Suits series. He will appear in a three-episode arc. Cool. Interestingly enough, Suits is one of those shows that I really have to get around to watching. I didn't have Netflix for the longest time. Wasn't in the mood to binge watch something super long, so I never really got around to it. But I've heard it's good. Lexi's liked it. A couple of my other friends have liked it. We'll have to see. We'll have to add it to the watch list. That's all I'll tell you. Number nine, last stuff with SNL. That's what number nine will be. There's a lot of stuff with SNL. They had their like 50th show ever. So many celebrities all in one place. If you hate celebrities, that would have been the place to go out and yell something like, "I hate you, celebrities." And they all would have booed you. But you know what? I'm not really interested in all of that. It's just phoniness to me. And number 10, the final thing, Captain America Brave New World opens with $192.4 million worldwide, is the third highest opening for a Captain America movie. Mind you, it says it is the third highest opening for a Captain America movie. There have only been four Captain America movies. I just want to add that little context in there, is that this wasn't the most popular film. And I'm going to be honest, I'm just not hyped for it. I don't know if I'm even going to go see it in theaters. I doubt I will. I doubt I'm going to go see it. It's just there's not an attraction level for me. Plus, Anthony Mackie is out there saying like, "Hey, you know, this isn't about being Captain America. It's about uniting America and bringing it together." I'm like, "Oh, shut up. Grab your shield. Fight some bad guys. Say we're the best country on earth and we're all good. We don't need to make everything a freaking political statement, for goodness sakes." And also, at the end of the day, it is just a movie. So what do I really care? In all honesty, I got other stuff to do in my life. Goodness me, I have speeches to write. I have people to impress. I have trips to make. I have places to go, people to see. As you all know, I'm a busy, busy man as the podcaster of the year. I wish one day we're taking this thing to the moon, but that's all we got for new pop culture news. We're going to leave that there. We're going to segue perfectly into our finale of the episode, as we're going to be recapping UFC Vegas 102. I was sadly unable to watch this full event, which is one of the few UFC events in the last 5 years I haven't been able to watch, but I think we can give a pretty good analysis. I watched the highlights, saw some of the clips, and I'm able to, of course, look at the UFC stats page, which is not loading on my laptop. I have to use my phone to do this. When everyone wonders, "Zach, why are you never able to record?" It's because I use my phone throughout the entire freaking podcast. Now, I could buy a camera. That's a story for another day. But as I mentioned, 10-2 on the card. It don't get much better than that. The one doozy is we did predict the main card, the main event, I should say, incorrectly, which hurts. I always like predicting the main event correctly, but you win some, you lose some. That's all I got to say to that. But let's get right into it, guys. I mean, 7-0 on the prelims, and we kick things off women's bantamweight action as Jacqueline Cavalcante took on Julia Avila, and she was a huge minus 500 favorite, minus 900 favorite or whatever. For a reason, Jacqueline beats her handsomely, and she will get to keep it going. Keep the little win streak alive for Jacqueline Cavalcante, I believe. Trying to think correctly, it's at 7. She's at 7 straight wins now. Impressive stuff. As for Julia Avila, I mean, back in the losing category. Back in the losing category for Julia. This is now 2 straight losses, 1-3 in her last 4. And, you know, she was ranked 12, Jacqueline 13. Jacqueline's going to move up to 12 probably, doing what she needs to do to get the wins. It was 30-27s across the board, 73 significant strikes of 54. Julia landed 1 takedown for 1:39 control time in round 2. That was just about it. Jacqueline barely outstruck her throughout the whole fight, and she picks up the victory. Good stuff. Good stuff, Jacqueline. We thought she would win. She got the win, as expected. As expected. Not much more to say. And, you know, we already have a fight booked between Miesha Tate and Yana Santos. I think the number 9 ranked Carol Rosa has a fight booked with someone. She has a fight booked with someone. Mario Bell Silva is ranked number 8. That could be a potential opponent, but we'll have to see. So Jacqueline Cavalcante probably taking on the loser or winner of Yana Santos and Miesha Tate, Carol Rosa, or maybe Mario Bueno Silva. Might be a lot of waiting for. We'll have to see. As for Julia Avila, you know, there's the 14th ranked Chelsea Chandler. We already mentioned Nora Cornoli's fighting. If she wins that fight against Haley Cohen, though, she could take on Julia Avila, or even if Haley wins, she could take her on. I don't know. No one really has any notoriety. We just need to get this belt in the hands of Kayla Harrison, and the women's bantamweight division will be made great again, as the great Donald Trump says. Next up, heavyweight action. What if I were to tell you that Walter Walker is going to be a ranked heavyweight as he gets a second straight heel hook in round one to submit Dontell Mays. Walter Walker getting his third career submission. Dontell Mays submitted for the third time in his career. I mean, name of the game. Walter went right across the octagon, took him down, and controlled him for 58 seconds of the 1 minute and 17 seconds this fight lasted. Great work. Great work for Walter. And after starting off his career with a doozy of a decision loss to Lucas Brzezik, he's followed up with two great heel hook victories. And now he's going to be ranked number 15 in the division. Honestly, great, great work for Walter Walker. I was going to say Dontell Mays, but no, not the case for Dontell Mays. Dontell Mays now on a 2-fight losing streak. He's 1-3 in his last 4, and I think it's the end for Dontell Mays. It might be time to back it up. He's 35. It's time to say hit the high road and cut your losses, Dontell. I think he's going to get cut here sooner or later. Best for Walter. I mean, dude, you literally takes him down, locks in the heel hook, and Dontell had nothing to do. It was locked in precisely. He's going to be ranked number 15. Number 14th, Kedi Nchukwu. He has more opportunities coming up. Number 13th, ranked McParkin has fights coming up. I think the number 12 ranked Waldo Cortez Acosta would be a perfect fight, or even the number 10 ranked Ty Tuivasa. A lot of options for Walter Walker, and the heavyweight division is such an easy division, if you're talented, I should say, to speedrun. I mean, Ciryl Gane skyrocketed up there. Sergey Pavlovich, after taking 2 years off, skyrocketed up there. Halton Almeida skyrocketed up there. I mean, if you are even a sliver talented, you can make it work. Now, obviously, all the guys in the top 15 are talented, but it's, you know, if you're the difference between the top 6 at heavyweight and the bottom 9 for the rankings is so evident, it's pretty impeccable. So, Walter Walker versus Ty Tuivasa will make, and Dontell Mays, I think it's time you get to cut. I'm sorry, my friend. Following that up, competitive bantamweight matchup as the debuting Elijah Smith took on Vince Morales, and lo and behold, Vince got it not done. That's right, we picked Elijah, and Elijah won 12 years his youngerness. Oh my goodness. 40 significant strikes for both of these men, 52 total strikes for Elijah compared to 42 for Vince, 3 takedowns for Elijah, 2 for Vince, 3 minutes of control time for both of these individuals. Good win. Good win for Elijah Smith. He is now 8-1, is on a 6-fight winning streak, and 22 years old. How about that? 2 wins now in the UFC. It don't get much. Actually, first win in the UFC, he also won a Damage Contender Series, but great win. Great win, man. There's nothing much more I can say to that. I mean, I'm impressed. I was impressed with him. Now, there was one funny moment. So Elijah started the fight really strong. He started this one off looking good, looking stellar as always, and kind of faded in round 3. Just kind of a faded a tad in round 3. Strikes were still close, but at the end of the fight, like I'm talking the final 10 seconds, Vince lands a standing like choke, like almost like how Shavkat Rakhmonov tapped out Jeff Neal, and he locks him at 10 seconds left. And there's this funny picture of Elijah looking at the clock, and he's talking about this as post. He's like, I'm getting choked out. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, there's no way that Vince is about to choke me out right now and I'm about to lose this fight. So Elijah was able to hang in there, getting the win, and beautiful stuff for Elijah. As for Vince, this is his 4th straight loss, and he's gone a very lackluster 3-7 in the UFC, including losing on Dana White's Contender Series. Let's cut him. Let's get him out of here. Vince Morales, you can say you fought in the UFC, you can say you're better than all the independent guys, but Elijah Smith, his time is now. Good win for the kid. You love to see it. And as for the men's bantamweight division, so many options. So many options. I wouldn't even know who to choose. I wouldn't even know who to choose for you, but if we look at last week's card, based off of what I saw at UFC 312, there's a fight between Alexander Tompera and Colby Thickneys. You could bring Colby Thickneys back for a matchup. You could even have Alexander Tompera take on this guy. There's unlimited options, Mr. Unlimited options at men's bantamweight. Elijah Smith is here to stay, and he's so far doing pretty good. Following that up, we got our first performance bonus of the night, and it's in the men's welterweight division as Gabriel Bonfim makes quick work of Chaos Williams. I was very surprised. I thought he was going to get a decision win here, but no. A round 2 dart stroke with 2 seconds left. Gabriel Bonfim showing that there are levels to this, and Gabriel Bonfim improving to a immaculate 17-1, and that was his 16th career finish. 16th career finish. Great work for Gabriel Bonfim. After losing his first professional bout in 2023, he's now on a 2-fight winning streak, and he gets his first UFC performance bonus. Great work for the kid. Great, great work. As for Chaos Williams, this does snap a 2-fight losing streak. Sad to see, but Hey, man, nothing to be mad about. 35 significant strikes to 20 in favor of Bonfim, 4 of 5 on takedowns. That was the name of the game, especially the one in round two, where he was able to get him to the ground, lock up the darts, and once you're in that darts, there is going nowhere. Nowhere for you to run as Gabriel Bonfim makes quick work of Chaos Williams. So I guess it wasn't too quick, almost went to round three, but nonetheless, you get the point. In terms of who both of these men could fight next, Chaos Williams, I got a fight for you. Santiago Ponzinibbio is taking on, who did we say he's taking on? We had literally just mentioned it. Santiago is taking on Daniel Rodriguez. Chaos can fight the winner of that. Fight a veteran, get a victory. That's all you can do at the end of the day. I mean, other than that, there's no one really else on this card I can matchmake him with. He's nowhere near ready for ranked opponent. Same thing kind of goes for Gabriel Bonfim, though. That's the issue. I don't know what to do with him. Now, as you look at the welterweight rankings, I mean, Neil Magny, I think, is a name that comes to mind when I think of someone Gabriel Bonfim could fight. Maybe even someone like Vicente Luque, if we were to give him a ranked opponent. But I think he's legit. I think he's competitive. And honestly, I was impressed. Good work for Gabriel Bonfim. Next up, we had a flyweight matchup, and I really was wondering if I should pick against Rafael Estevam, because undefeated fighters have been doing terrible this year, but he gets it done against Jesus Aguilar. Scrapes away with the 29-28 decision. Tough win. Tough win for the minus 550 favorite at close. I mean, this one was really, really awkward. 11 significant strikes to 35 in favor of Jesus. 60 total strikes to 41 in favor of Rafael Estevam. 11 of 19 on takedowns for 9 minutes, 22 seconds control time. Jesus lands two of his own for a minute and 15 seconds. So it was a grapple fest from the start. 5 takedowns in round 1, 5 takedowns in round 2. Jesus wins rounds 3, but it is not enough. Jesus was trying to throw up some subs too in round 1 and 2, but he just couldn't get done. Couldn't get done, and Rafael Estevam, undefeated now at flyweight. And guess what? Guess what? He is a beautiful 13-0. 13-0. Very, very good. Very, very proud of him. Jesus, tough loss, man. Tough loss. He'd been on a 3-fight winning streak. Jesus will be back. But in terms of the UFC rankings, I mean, at flyweight, Rafael Estevam, throw him to the rankings. How about Kaya Sakura? Okay, you got Charles Johnson also taking on, Tamaran Ismariyov. We're going to mention it next week, but he's a tough, tough competitor. Whoever wins that or loses that fight, Rafael Estevam could take on, 2-0 through his first two fights. Good stuff there. Both these guys are legit. It's just Rafael Estevam coming away with the victory. 28, these guys will be in the UFC for a while. After that, we were supposed to have Jared Gordon and Masharsan Ruzaboyev, but Masharsan pulled out. So Jared Gordon left without an opponent. Sorry for you, Gordon. It is not the best. Not the best of circumstances. But then we did have a women's matchup between Angel Hill and Caitlin Souza. Now, I didn't see this fight, but I heard the decision was bad. I heard that everyone thought Caitlin should have won. Now, all the stats point towards Angela Hill, if I'm being honest, as I read the stats out. 86 significant strikes to 70, 103 total strikes to 77, 2 of 6 on takedowns, 4.5 minutes of control time. Don't really know what they were looking at here, but I didn't watch it, so I was unable to see. It did go to a split decision, so I apologize. Can't really give an analysis. But Angela Hill walks away with a decision. Nonetheless, if it was that close, both these women deserve to be here. So Angela Hill was ranked 13th. Let's give her a top opponent. Let's do it to her. Number 8 ranked Amanda Ribas. Number 9 ranked Marina Rodriguez. Number 10 ranked Tabitha Ritchie. Number 4 ranked Jessica Andrade. Let's give Angela Hill a run, okay? She's 40 years old. She's ready to be given an opportunity to prove herself. I think she is. For Caitlin, I mean, it's a tough loss, but you took Angela Hill to a split decision. You're ready for the Luiana Pineros, the Tisha Penningtons, the Lupi Godinezes. You're ready for those fighters in the bottom 15. For Angela, let's give her a big opportunity. Truly, let's give her a big opportunity. Sink or swim at her age. Maybe she'll make a run. Maybe she'll make a run for the title. I can't help but love her. She is this division's Michael Johnson. This division's Jim Miller. This division's Neil Magny. And she is the ultimate gatekeeper of any woman's division that I've ever watched. Following that, we headed to our final prelim of the evening, and it was Jose Delgado taking on Connor Matthews, and I knew Jose would run through this man. Round one finish for Jose Delgado. Make it his fifth career knockout, ninth career finish for Jose Delgado. I mean, just beautiful work. Beautiful work from Jose Delgado in his UFC debut. Gets taken down by Conor Matthews and is able to reverse it, get in the top position, and just lay down punches from mount. It was vicious. Vicious stuff for Jose Delgado, but I'm impressed, Mella. I'm impressed. 9-1 now for Jose Delgado. 6 straight win. Good work. And hey, featherweight division, we're always needing killers. We're always in need of killers for the men's featherweight division. You know, you got your Jack Jenkins, your Gabriel Santoses, your Chepe Mariscals, your Pat Sabatinis. You got Jairus Embiidou out there. There's a lot of unranked featherweights that could be in need of an opponent. You know, Akeem Dawodo could be an opponent that Jose could take on. 26 with a win streak like this, I mean, I'm liking his odds. As for Connor, I'm sorry you went 1-1 on day one's Katara series. You've been knocked out in both of your UFC appearances. You're 7-3. Ooh, I don't know. 32 years old. I think Connor Matthews may be not in the UFC much longer. I'm sorry, Connor. I hate to say it, but it seems your time is drawing to an end. As for Jose, this is just getting started. So, Connor, good work all around. Making it to the UFC. I don't know if you're going to be here much longer. Hey, maybe I'll be seeing you find the main event of one of my Ignite fight cards that I go to in the future. With that, we got into the main card, and our first incorrect prediction of the night is Andrei Petrovsky beats Rodolfo Vieira. And to everyone's surprise, this was a striking affair. Now, Rodolfo did go 1 of 11 on takedowns, got a minute and 50 seconds of control time, but Andrei only 0 of 2. You know, he defended 4 in round 1, 3 in round 2, and Rodolfo finally got one in round 3 to win that round. But round 2 and 1, both close striking. Both close striking affairs is the word I was looking for, but Andre's power was just more evident with his punches. So good win for Andrei Petrovsky, keeping the little win streak alive at 3 straight fights. And dude, guys, 7 wins since 2021. I think he is the third most in the middleweight division. Great work. Great work for Andrei Petrovsky. He has a couple awkward knockout losses in there, but kicking off the year with a win is a great start. As for Rodolfo, I mean, this dude goes 2 wins, 1 loss, 1 win, 2, 1 loss, 2 wins, and a loss. I mean, he just has a little pattern to his career. Rodolfo Vieira could come back. I mean, he could come back, but really I'm more interested in Andrei Petrovsky. Andrei's 33, Rodolfo's 35. Middleweight division is just, you know, we had an Andrei, he called out Bo Nickel. That fight's not going to take place, in my humble opinion. I don't know what to do with these guys. They're both going to stick around. I think it's just more a matter of who could they fight. You have a fight coming up with Abus Magomedov and Andrei Munoz. I think the loser of that versus Andrei Petrovsky could be a good fight. And then you have Bruno Ferreira taking on a guy in Armin Petrosian. I think having Rodolfo Vieira fight the loser of that would be an intriguing fight. So we'll see what happens with all those ones. Good stuff for Andre. This was a hit or miss, and sadly, Rodolfo didn't get it done. Despite out striking him, the power landed more with Andrei Petrovsky. Following that, we had an unfortunate result as Nazem Sadikov and Ishmael Bonfim, which was lining up to be fight of the night, is called short after round number one. Now, I correctly predicted that Nazem would win, and he did win. He gets a TKO, actually, so Nazem's win streak extends to 10. 10 fight win streak, 10-1 record, gets his 9th career finish in there. I mean, impressive stuff for Nazem. And it all came from Nazem landing one of the most beautiful question mark kicks I've ever seen, especially in slow motion, hitting Ishmael right in the eyes. And when he's speaking to the ringside physician and he has a translator in there, they're asking, can you see? And I don't know if there's a mix-up, if he actually couldn't see, but the doctor's like, this guy is in no condition to keep competing. And that was that for Ishmael Bonfim. So Bonfim, he is going to be now 2-2 in the UFC. He'll definitely be back, 20-5 record now, but I mean, there's not much to do. There really isn't nothing for him to do, if I'm being honest. Good stuff for, oh my gosh, what's it? Nazem Sadikov is a tough SOB in the lightweight division, has an absolute stud, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. As for Ishmael, back to the drawing board, you know, there's Grant Dawson's, Benoit Saint-Denis, Rafael Fiziev's. I would love to see Nazem take on those guys. You got Chase Hooper and Jim Miller. You got Ignacio Bohmides and Jalen Turner, the loser of that. Nazem's going to be getting a big fight. As for Ishmael Bonfim, he's just going to have to scrape away, find some opponent to take on, and the opportunities will come. The opportunities will come, kid. I feel it, Ishmael. And hey, these guys, 30 and 29, you may think they're in the last stages of their career. They got another solid 5 to 6 years left in them. So we'll be seeing these two down the line, I think, fight again. After that, middleweight action as we get our second and final performance bonus of the night as Edmund Shahbazyan knocks out Dylan Buca in a minute and 35 seconds. Just as you would expect. just as he should. Edmund Shahbazyan getting it done, 27 years old, 12th career knockout, 13th career finish. Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good to watch Edmund Shahbazyan win. It really does. First win since March of last year. It was long overdue. Long overdue. And this was just as plain as simple. Dillon had no business being in there. How did Dillon get into the UFC even? I'm so confused. 0-3 in his UFC appearances, finished in two of them. I mean, just an embarrassing effort from Dillon Buchha. I think everyone's pretty much on the same train that Dillon Buchha might be one of the worst fighters in UFC history. Never really did anything. A one game plan type of fighter. And Edmund straight up cracks him. I mean, wobbles backwards, falls down, lands a couple of fall punches, and that was that. Edmund back in the win category, and there's a limited option for him. Everyone loves Edmund. I mean, I saw someone throwing out Paul Craig as a potential opponent. People saying Michelle Pereira. I mean, we could even look onto this card. You could match make. Who were we just talking about? Andre Petroski and Edmund Shahbazyan. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options for Edmund Shahbazyan. I'm excited to see where he goes. You know, if it was me and I had to matchmake him, I mean, Bruno Ferreira is a really intriguing opponent for me because he's a big striker. I also like a Nursultan Ruzaboyev pick for someone who we can fight if Nursultan wants to move up to middleweight. We'll have to see. As for Dillon, cut from the UFC. He will no longer be in there. We will not be seeing Dillon Buchha anytime soon. That's the much I can tell you about that. But good stuff all around. Good win for Edmund getting another career knockout. With that, we got to the co-main event of the evening. And Yusuf Zalal, baby. Yusuf Zalal. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that Yusuf Zalal would be the number 10 ranked featherweight in the world, I'd be going, did you have AI do this prediction or something? It's terrible. But no, Yusuf Zalal, 28 years old, make it 7 straight wins, and he is now the number 10 ranked featherweight in the world as he beats Calvin Kattar. Not even just easily, I mean, pretty handsomely, 29-28 across the board. You saw a bit of that old school Calvin coming alive in round number 3 with a couple of good punches, but Yusuf was looking like prime Muhammad Ali in there, dodging all the punches. He outstruck him 26-8 in round 1, 27-10 in round 2, and then 21-20 in round number 3. He shoots 8 times, doesn't get a single one, outstrikes him 74-38 significantly. And Yusuf Zalal, man, good freaking work. 4-0 since his return to the UFC. Like I said, picked up some independent wins, so the win streak's at 7. Great work. Great work. You know, people were wondering, why is he a minus 400, minus 500 favorite? This is why. The old Calvin Kattar is gone. It sucks. 36 years old, past his prime. I don't know what happened to Calvin. You know, ever since he lost that bad decision to Josh Emmett, his career has been in a downward spiral. He's now on a 4-fight losing streak, 1-5 in his last 6. I don't know what to do with the guy. I honestly don't know what to do with Calvin Kattar. For Yusuf Zalal, I mean, he's getting a top 10 opponent. Is that not super exciting? People are saying Aljamain Sterling. I like a Josh Emmett, Leron Murphy winner. I like that fight, or even the loser. I like Arnold Allen at 7. I like Brian Ortega at 6. I like a lot of things for Yusuf Zalal. For Calvin Kattar, I mean, you could have him fight Bryce. And they aren't going to have him fight Bryce Mitchell. You could have him rematch Dan Ige. You could have him take on, you know, Edson Barboza was supposed to take on Steve Garcia Jr. That fight fell apart. You could give Steve Garcia Jr. a shot. The winner of Joe Anderson Brito and Pat Sabatini. You could give Chepe Mariscal a shot if he gets past his opponent, which I think he will. There are so many options that you can do. Gabriel Santos could be an option, but Calvin Kattar will be taking on a young up-and-comer trying to get into the top 15, or at best, maybe Dan Ige. I mean, I doubt it. It's going to be a long road if Calvin Kattar wants to get back to relevancy, and I honestly don't think that road is going to be traveling upwards. So, Calvin, sucks to see. I will never forget your knockout of Jeremy Stevens at UFC 249, one of my favorite knockouts I saw when I first started watching. It was a nasty ground and pound, but good work to Yusuf Zalal. We ride with him representing Morocco, and how about that? He's going to be fighting a top 10 guy later in the year, hopefully, if he can stay healthy. But ladies and gentlemen, we then got to the main event. Here's the issue. It won Fight of the Night. I wasn't able to see it, so it is going to be impacted when I do my final rankings. I might have to rewatch the whole fight. But Jared Cannonier, man, 40 years old, getting his 10th career knockout, 13th career finish. And what a hectic fight, I was told. I was just told this was just an absolute crazy, crazy matchup. And the main things to know about this fight are that Jared Cannonier looked done in round 1. He looked washed, dropped twice, was shooting takedowns on Gregory Rodriguez, and Jerry Kanter just managed to survive. Gets in the round two. We saw Gregory slow down a bit. Round three comes around. Kanter drops him when RoboCop was looking phenomenal. And then round four, I mean, we're barely into it. A couple punches is all it took. Gregory didn't even throw anything, and he was TKO'd. So Jerry Kanter back in the win column. I mean, fantastic work for him after going 0-2 in 2024. Back again with another victory. I mean, you cannot put this boy out. No, you can't. He'll remain ranked number 7. Good work for Jared Cannonier. As for Gregory, snapping his little winning streak here, I mean, it's just kind of a wake-up call. You know, clearly we know he can hang with Jared Cannonier. He dropped him twice in round one, for goodness sakes, but the cardio kind of dipped in round two. The chin faded in round three, and by round four, there was just a shell of the Gregory Rodriguez we knew before the fight. So, unfortunate results for Gregory Rodriguez. Back to the drawing board. Back to the drawing board. Here's an issue. I know he can hang with guys. Really, like, I feel like him and the number 14th ranked Roman Kopilov, number 13th ranked Michelle Pera, heck, even Paulo Costa and him would put on a banger fight. But I just don't know what to do with him. I really don't. He's only 32. He looks old, but he's only 32. Truly is. All of his losses have come by knockout. It's almost impossible to choose who he's going to fight next, because I just saw him have a fight of the night. Almost knock out the number 7th ranked guy in the world at middleweight. And now I'm just supposed to give him some up-and-comer, like an unranked guy? I don't know. But Gregory Rodriguez, he's going to be staying in the UFC. But I just think he just has to kind of, like, realize, like, okay, if I want to be legit and compete, I have to have a good gas tank. I have to fix the issue with my chin, which is almost impossible to fix, really, once you reach a certain point. I mean, look at Volkanovski, for example. That chin is in turmoil. We'll have to see if it hangs in there. But it'll be interesting. Truly, truly. As for Kanter, I mean, 40 years old. What do we do with him? He's knocking out up in covers. What do we do? Now, Kanter's not going to fight up. He has lost the number 5 guy, lost the number 4 guy. He will lose the number 3 guy, win over the number 2 guy, but that doesn't count. Lost the number 1 guy, nowhere near a title shot. Just beat Vettori, all right, who's going to be ranked number 8. He's taking Roman Dolidze. Number 9 ranked Brendan Allen. He's coming off of him and Anthony Hernandez have a big fight coming up. So I think the winner of Brendan Allen and Anthony Hernandez may have a date with Jared Cannonier. You could try and run Jared Cannonier and Paulo Costa. Maybe that'll be sneaky good. You could even give Roman Kopilov a shot up in the rankings, but it will be interesting to see who they go with. If it's up to me, I'm saying the winner of Brendan Allen and Anthony Hernandez. I mean, Kanter is just, you put up a good performance, but you're not going to be fighting up. You're not going to be getting a title shot. I mean, who is Kanter mentioning? He mentioned someone. Kanter mentioned, because people were saying, oh, he could fight Nazarene Ivanov, and he's like, dude, Nazarene should get a title shot, and A+, he just beat me. I mean, you could run that back. I would prefer to see someone else coming up fight Kanter, and hey, if Kanter's 41 years old, has a 3-fight win streak, he might be getting a title shot. Who knows? But overall, this looked like it was a pretty good UFC fight night. So far, the Apex cards have been pretty good this year. I mean, really haven't had a bad card in the UFC. As I kind of look at the schedule, I mean, 2 UFC Vegas cards. We had good times on the pay-per-views so far. It's been enjoyable. And the next time I see you, we'll be going to Seattle, Washington. That's right, the UFC is going to Seattle. And I'm more than curious to see how that works out, because I don't know what's going to be going on, but we've had a lot of fight cancellations. But that's something to talk about on next time. I keep saying next week, but later in the week's episode. As for now, that's all we got. That's all we got, guys. Fun weekend. Fun time talking about the fights. I love that I've actually spent more time recapping the fights than I've actually spent watching the fights from this past weekend. Hopefully this weekend I can maybe catch some fights, but I will be visiting my buddies in Wisconsin, which I am super pumped about, so we'll have to see. But as for now, guys, have a fantastic week. Have a fantastic life. Do spontaneous things. And as I'm probably going to learn in the next month or so, sometimes you have to tell the people you love no. What does that pertain to? I don't know. You'll have to stay tuned and catch it on next week's episode of the Surprise Jab Podcast. Have a good one, folks.